Psalm 34, this was in my devotions today. And we'll get, and then we're going to turn to Luke chapter 10. Here's David. I will extol the Lord at all times, verse 1, Psalm 34. It's not up here, but we're going to be going to Luke 10. This is your extra added bonus today, okay? Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them, and he delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all, and he protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. That's an awesome psalm. That's an awesome psalm. Praise of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in Luke chapter 10, we'll get there in a moment. Life is about lessons. Lots of lessons, aren't there? Lots of lessons. And what we learn from things that happen in everyday life determine how and what we're going to become, I guess, or what we're going to learn, or if we have to learn it over again. Some of you, maybe you've learned a lesson and you haven't done it again, but if you're like me, I'm kind of stubborn sometimes, and I have to learn the lesson over and over again. I wish I wasn't that way. Something that goes along with our scripture this morning in Luke chapter 10, because we're talking about Mary and Martha, right? We're talking about Mary and Martha. Now, some of you will recognize this and know what it immediately is. This is your driver's ed lesson for today, okay? Doug and Barb, you know where this is? Can you see it? It's, where is this?
Is that off of Queensgate?
Yes, it's off of Queensgate. Anybody been there lately? Have you? How many of you drive this in the morning when everybody's going to work? Doug, the rest of us don't. I happened to on Friday, because this goes along, I hope this wasn't orchestrated just so I could present this to you this morning, but Friday I was, a pastor friend of mine was coming over to the golf tournament or to the men's conference, and he wanted me to play golf with him, so he said, hey. I said, I really don't have the money. I'm saving. I have to pay the Amy and Zach's rent. He said, well, I'll pay for the golf. And so I said, okay, I'll come and I'll play. So it was sprinkling, raining Friday morning, right? And I thought, oh, they're not going to have this. They're going to cancel this. But when you prepay, they don't want to pay you back. How many of you understand that? So they're going to play in the rain one way or the other. So I stop at Maverick to get a coffee, right? Here's Maverick and here's all Walmart. And so I'm coming down this way, right? And I see the lineup. They're lined up, right? And they're lined up, right? And they're lined up, and they're lined up because everybody wants to go which way? Hanford. And so at this point, they're probably doing about 20 miles per hour, right? And up here, they're maybe doing 30. So I'm coming this way, and I'm in line, and I'm just doing my thing. I'm going like, oh, well, it's going to take longer than I thought and all that kind of stuff. So I get about, here's the river, and let's say the bridge is right here, right? It goes this way. So we're not going to play tic-tac-toe this morning. But I'm probably right there. So everybody's moving along, and I'm sitting there, I'm going like, God, you know, I really don't want to play golf. I didn't know they weren't going to refund us. I'm just going to go get my refund and head back, right? And I'm sitting there, and I only see this much, right? I don't want to play golf. It's raining. We live in the Tri-Cities. We don't play this game in the rain. Everybody else on the west side plays it in the rain. They don't care, right? So I'm fixated on some. Everybody in a car that is going to Hanford, what are they fixated on? Getting to work. So we all know that this is a, what, 70 mile per hour zone, right? Now it's raining. We have, sorry, Doug, I'm not including you in this. We have the Hanford ding-dongs, right, going to work. And they are all fixated on one thing, getting there first. And as quick as possible. So I'm about this point. I look in my rearview mirror. I see the lineup. Here is a semi-truck. He's doing at least 60 miles an hour. He not only has one trailer, he has two trailers. Nobody sees the big picture, right? God gave me the big picture in an instant. This guy is coming down this way. Ding dong number one and ding dong number two decide to pull out. Semi-truck is doing 60 or 70 miles an hour. It is raining. Semi-truck sees this about right here. At this point, I'm coming on. I'm right here. He starts to try and stop. By the time he gets past me, he's having to slam on his brakes. Trailer number two begins to go like this. All the Hanford workers are lined up on this side, right? They're all lined up. Not one of them knew that day that because of ding-dong number one and number two, that they would be put into a position that they're now going to be put into. Because these guys' only agenda was the small picture. In our daily lives, we sometimes only fixate on the small picture. Lessons I've had to learn walking with my wife and with Zachary and Oz, everything we've gone through and other things in life. I mean, this is just life. This guy was going too fast, should have slowed down, but he also should be commended. Because how he stopped the semi, the trailer started to come like this. He let up on the brakes. The trailer came back. He slammed on the brakes again. The trailer started to come over. He let off the brakes again. He got the semi stopped. He only hit one truck and dented his bumper. All of these people. And I shouted out, I said, God, because I saw it. So when we were bringing my parents out from Minnesota here, my wife and my mom were in one of the vehicles, and a semi-truck, it was raining, and a semi-truck, they were going around a corner. And a semi-truck, the trailer was empty, and it swung in and it hit them. I saw that too, and I screamed out, protect them. I'm not saying it was me who protected these people. No way. All I'm saying is I saw it. All of a sudden, I saw the big picture. Six of these cars all piled into one another, because I'm sure they looked in their rearview mirror and were paying attention. These two ding-dongs got away scot-free. Shouldn't have. See the big picture. Sometimes in life, we only look at the little things and we don't look at the big picture. There's a bigger picture in life. There's a big picture that we have to be focused on. In our scripture today, Jesus is teaching us an amazing lesson, right? He's teaching us that there's a big picture here, that there's more to life. That if I were to have just come up here and put a black dot here, I've done this illustration before. I don't know if any of you are paying attention. If I had just put a black dot here, what would you have said? What's on there? What do you see? Most of you would have said a black dot, right? Some of you would have said, well, I see the whiteboard too. But what's beyond the whiteboard? There's more in life that's more important than just. See, Jesus is going to teach us a lesson here, and he's teaching Martha something amazing, right? In life, sometimes we're overwhelmed by the adversities that monopolize our attention. Sometimes we are overwhelmed. And I cannot tell you how many times I was overwhelmed and I had to trust in Jesus. I had to be focused on what was right and not what was right there before me. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, Jesus begins this part. It's the end of chapter 10. And as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary. Mary and Martha, right? Awesome. Obviously, they were interested in Jesus, or who knows, maybe they were disciples of Jesus, they were following Jesus. If you look at church history, they're the ones who were there with Jesus. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him. Who is she coming to? She's coming to Jesus. And she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Look at Jesus. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried and upset about many things, but the only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will be not taken away from her. You know what? Life has so many distractions that overwhelm us. They even divert us from sensing Jesus' peace. Do you know that? They're stealers. They steal. You know what Satan's job is? Satan's job is to come in and steal our joy. It's to steal from us the things that God wants. They even steal God's presence from us. Satan wants to come in and steal all that is good, and he wants you to worry, and because like Tammy, right? She's worrying about her child. I would be. I worry about my child. But see, there's a difference between being concerned and allowing it to consume you. Sometimes we have financial issues or relationship problems or spiritual problems. There are distractions everywhere. And they're stealers. Not the Pittsburgh Steelers. We don't like them. All right, Pap, sorry. But our scripture gives us an example of what we can face in life and the obstacles that we can face in life. Because either we can be stressed or we can be blessed. We can either trust in God or not. Because here's the difference between Mary and Martha. Mary was occupied with Jesus, right? What did Psalm 34 tell us? Let me go back here. I'm going to just use my phone. Is that okay? Put your finger on Luke chapter 10 and go back to Psalm 34 if you want to. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he what?
Answered me.
He answered me. He heard me. You believe God hears you?
Amen.
Amen.
The Hebrew is perfect. It doesn't mean I sought. I seek. He's doing it all the time. It's not something he did in the past.
It's an ongoing process.
That's right. That's what it's called. Imperfect.
Yeah. Ongoing process. Right? That David is saying, I do this all the time. I seek the Lord all the time. And I sought the Lord, or I seek the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from my fears. And those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. I can remember my face in the beginning of all happened. It was like, how can this be? But as we all have to learn sometimes when major life things happen to us, we have to know who we have to trust and who we have to go to and who we have to believe in to make our faces radiant again, to make our spirits radiant again.
Hallelujah. We will be overwhelmed by that. Just when we're overwhelmed, even then, I can say, I have to then trust just what it says.
That's right. We have to. See, this is a lesson that Jesus is trying to teach Martha. Right? Know what's important. Be able to come to that place where even in your head you might be struggling, but in your heart you know what's right. Right? Verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see. Because the Lord's, in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. I want to know with all my heart that God is hearing me. Because verse 17 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and he delivers them from all their troubles. Now, sometimes we look at that and we go, well, that means that whatever's going on in my life is just going to disappear. That's not what that means. It means that spiritually we can overcome our troubles, the things that are going on in our life. Because sitting here this morning, right, we can either be a Mary or we can be a Martha. We can be preoccupied with the things that are going on in our life, or we can be focused on the God who we've come to worship. Amen. Right? Not worrying about the little things that may be going on beside us or what's going on because you're focused on Tony because he dressed up today. Hallelujah. He looks like $100, doesn't he? Danny doesn't smell like fish, and like Pappy and Danny don't smell like they've been fishing, they've been catching trout. And I told Pappy, I said, man, trout's good if you cook it the right way. Oh, I just give those to Danny. I don't like those fish. You don't know what you're missing, right? If you cook it right. I write these long texts to Pat, and I go like, Pat, here's how you cook fish. Oh, he won't eat it anyway. I should try it. Take one fish, cook it, and see if he likes it, right? He might be surprised. We get distracted easy, even in church, even on some Sunday morning. You know why I didn't leave the board up like this morning? I had it down. So all during worship, you didn't sit there and look at the board and wonder what I was going to do this morning. Right, so that you wouldn't be focused on that instead of being focused on praising God. To be able to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You saved a wretch like me. Right? God has done so much for us. And he's done, I mean, I think all we can do is give him praise. But see, in the scripture, Martha was preoccupied with her situation and she was stressed out. I want to give you a couple examples this morning. Number one, Martha was distracted. She was distracted with what was not important. How many of you ladies ever put on a dinner party? Right? What are you distracted with?
All the details. Want everything to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. She was doing what was right, though. Remember that one in her mind, because culture says,
So even though she was doing right, what was Jesus? What is Jesus teaching her here?
That he should be first.
That he should be first. It wasn't that the party wasn't important.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a party. She was fixing a meal. All the disciples were coming. And she's running around and she's trying to get it all done. And she has her mind focused only on one thing. She has. Amen. She's focused on who? She's focused on her sister. She could have been doing all the things she was doing, but what was she focused on?
Sister not helping her.
Yeah. She needed help.
Come on. Come on, Mary. Come on, Mary. So the noise in her head. How many of you have noise in your head? Come on. Not tinginitis or what ear thing where it goes ring, 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 ring all the time, right? It's just noise, right? Blah, 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 blah. When you get to my age, I can't remember half of the noise in my head anyway. It's there and it's gone. We got this noise going on. And so Martha has this noise going on in her head, right? This has to be done. This has to be done. This has to be done. You know, our lives are so full of distractions that sometimes we end up living for the distraction other than what we should be living for. It is one day at a time. Sometimes we have to live one day at a time. We have to be focused on that one day just with Jesus so that we can get past what we're going through, so that we can trust in him, so that today will be a good day, so that we can live in the joy of the Lord, that we can understand that he is our strength. Secondly, in verse 41, we see what? Martha, Martha, right? Here's Jesus. Martha was distracted. When Martha comes to talk to Jesus, Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. There's only a couple places in scriptures where Jesus used a person's word a couple times, right? So what was he trying to do? He was trying to get her attention, right? Martha, Martha. Settle down. You're a little nuts this morning or tonight or lunch or dinner, whatever they were having. He's trying to make a statement to her. He's saying, Martha, Martha, calm down. Listen to me for a moment. Understand the spiritual implications. I know that you're responsible for all of this. And I know that you're focused on your sister because Mary isn't there. And she's not helping you like she should. She's a woman, right? She should be doing this. She shouldn't be sitting with the men around you. Martha, you're worried about many things. You know, and how many of you know that worry accomplishes little? Has worry ever gotten you anywhere? No. Worry's never gotten me anywhere. Never gotten me anywhere. You know what Proverbs 12:25 says? It says an anxious heart weighs a man down. To live in anxiousness. You know why we have so much heart problems today? Because people are anxious. They're stressed. It's like their heart's beating like at 1,000 beats a minute because so much is going on in their life. I'll tell you, Friday morning, my heart was going, you know, as I saw that semi coming down and I saw Ding Dong 1 and 2 start to pull out, I knew what was going to happen. I pulled over immediately and I just pulled right over to the side of the bridge, right? I got way over here. Because I wasn't sure if trailer number 2 was going to hit me or not. And then God did a miracle.
You must not have had noise in your head.
I didn't have any noise that moment. Everything was clear. Everything was like, okay, is this whole side of the bridge going to get wiped out or not? Can you imagine that trailer hitting every driver? I mean, I believe that there was a miracle that day. I believe there's a miracle. I think when we begin to look at the miracles instead of looking at the problems, we're going to see God begin to bless us and open up our hearts. You know what worry is like? How many of you have a rocking chair in your house? What's the point of the rocking chair? Back and forth, back and forth. We have a swing outside in our backyard, you know, and my wife and I love to sit out there in the evening and just swing back and forth for a whole different purpose, not to worry, but, you know, just to put my arm around her and hug on her, and Jimmy Dean to sit on our lap while we're, you know, and Shaggy used to sit there. Worry is just a whole lot of energy that goes nowhere. A rocking chair is what? Does a rocking chair make progress? Nope, you just sit there. And there's nothing wrong with a rocking chair. You can sit there and rock. But if your worry is like a rocking chair and you're not making forward progress, then you're doing it wrong. It's a distraction. You have to go to the one who's gonna take you out of the distraction. Because Jesus says to Martha, he says, there's only one thing that is needed. Martha. There's only one thing that's needed. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what's going on, if you look to me, you can be set free. That's what Jesus was telling Martha. See, sometimes we need to readjust our priorities and eliminate some things which consume and make noise in our head and clutter our thoughts. If you are so busy that you miss your opportunity to meet and worship at the feet of Jesus, then you missed it that day. Come on. You need to be with Jesus every day. You need to be at his feet and you need to worship him. You need to be like Mary Magdalene, who poured the stuff over his feet and his head and his feet, and she bowed down. All she could do was wipe his feet with her hair. You go like, ugh. See, coming to that place where we lay all our concern on him is crucial. And this is what Jesus is telling Martha. Listen, Mary's doing something here. She's putting all her concern on me. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Here's your bonus. It's not in there, you guys. This is bonus stuff. Matthew 6:33, I think, is up there. Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Right? Sometimes we quote that scripture, and you know, if you've read that scripture enough, you understand why Jesus said that, right? Our primary concern in life should not be about worrying about pleasing ourselves in what we're going to get. In Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, right? This section is on, Jesus is talking about, right? Don't worry. Be happy. Right? Don't worry. What's that Pharrell Williams song? Don't worry, be happy. And they just sing that over and over again. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, if you write in your Bible, if you put this next to verse 25, this is faith and trust. This is faith and trust. Are you going to put your faith, are you going to trust in God? Therefore I tell you, Jesus is speaking, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is that hard when you want a style, right? I haven't heard anybody tell me how bad my tennies look yet, but no, Cheryl did last week, didn't she? She says, oh, what are those goofy looking shoes? You know what? They're comfortable. I don't care if they're goofy looking. But sometimes we worry about things that God will take care of. And I'm not saying that sometimes there aren't things we shouldn't be concerned about, because there are. We have to be. But it's the procedure, it's the journey of saying, okay, God, you got this too. You're with me. I can do this. I can walk through this. I can move from stressed to blessed. I can have the joy of the Lord. I can walk and not just worry and stress. He goes on to say, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? No one. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Look at verse 30. Here is the promise, okay? Jesus is laying out a promise. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So don't worry, right? This is God's promise to us, that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to be with us, that we don't have to worry, that he's there to put our trust in him, that when we're going through financial issues or we're going through struggles with our children or our loved ones or whoever, that he's there with us, he's walking with us. You know, what's Psalm 23, Harold? You know it by heart. Psalm 23. Yeah. Can you tell us what that says? Just you know it by heart, so just do Psalm 23 for me.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Actually, the Lord is my shepherd. I have no wants.
Somebody go to Psalm 23. Read the whole thing for me. Somebody go to Psalm 23. Because coming to this place, right, trusting God's promise, David, in the midst of everything he was going through in his life, he comes to Psalm 23.
Nothing is lacking before next. Yeah. I lack nothing.
Okay. You have it? Read it all. Read the. Who's there with us? God's there with us. Jesus is there with us, no matter what we go through. Because when you go to verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will add it unto you, there's an importance and there's conditions, right? Seek his kingdom, number one, and number two, seek his righteousness. We are, because when you receive Jesus Christ, let me move this out of the Old Testament into the New Testament. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right? You are in relationship with God the Father immediately. It's a done deal. It's a done act. You are saved by the blood of the Lamb. You are saved. And someday we won't
even remember.
You see, coming to this place is, I know it's not easy and I know it's a journey. But coming to that place where we know and we understand and we say, okay, God, I'm on this journey. I haven't taken the big road, I'm taking the small path. And on this small path, I know there's going to be bumps. But I'm going to follow you. Because Jesus, when he turns to Martha and he says, listen, Martha, Mary has chosen what is better. She's chosen to come and be at my feet. She's listening to Jesus teach about God. She's listening to what was important. And yes, Martha was doing what she should do, but she was busy and she was preoccupied and she had this thing against Mary saying, come on, Mary, you should be here. But Jesus is saying, listen, the secret of success is this, is that if you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. If you want to be delivered, look to Jesus. And you know what Mary was doing? She was looking to Jesus. Because lastly, Mary's blessings, Jesus says, will not be taken away from her. You see, our choices make the difference. What we're going to do, right? Who we're going to believe. How are we going to do this? How are we going to get through life? Because the contemplation upon the Lord's personal concern for each of us produces this blessed assurance, right? Produces a blessed assurance. Remember that old hymn? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased above, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. See, there's a blessed assurance, right? There's the blessed assurance.
Read my blind voice.
Come into the place where we are choosing what is right. We're choosing what is right. See, I don't know why Mary chose to stop doing what she was doing, right? Getting everything prepared, fixing the meal, right? But when Jesus walked in,
maybe she needed that blessing.
Maybe she, well, how many of you want the blessing of Jesus in your life? Come on, we all want the blessing of Jesus. But here she is. She's made the choice. She said, I'm going to go to Jesus, and all this other stuff will happen whether I'm there or not. You see, sometimes we can occupy our hearts and minds with things that don't matter. Mary said, I'm going to go to the thing that matters. Martha got mad at Mary because she wasn't occupied with the things that Martha thought she should be occupied with. Right? You know how fights start? Conflict resolution here, right, Doug? How do fights start? There's a conflict. What's the conflict between Mary and Martha?
That Mary's not helping.
There's the conflict, right? Mary's
not doing what she's supposed to do.
Mary's not doing what she's supposed to do. So we have the conflict.
Yeah.
Are you going to say something else?
No.
Okay. There's conflict. Because we put an expectation on somebody else that they never had. Right? Sometimes we do that and let you know how churches explode and things happen is because expectations on people that are unreal and unrealistic.
Yeah.
Right? Had a conversation with one of the nurses at the hospital. This lady was a Christian and we were having this, I think it was a very deep theological conversation about judgment, right? Judging people. And I told her, I said, it isn't my place to judge other people. That's God's place to judge other people. Should we understand what they're doing is right or wrong? Of course. But when we come to the place where we're acting as God, then we've taken a detour down the wrong road. And if I lay expectations on other people on how they should live and how they should act and how they should dress and all that kind of stuff, because listen, being over in Seattle, you know, with my son at UW, I've seen enough to not want to see it anymore. Come on. I saw a guy in the middle of the road, four-lane road with an intersection, with standing there with only his boxer shorts on, screaming at the cars that they weren't listening to him, and that he was commanding the cars to stop. And when one would stop, he would slap himself on the side of the head and he'd go, "Ah!" And I thought, I can immediately judge this guy. Now, obviously, here's the judgment, is that he was mentally ill or he was high on drugs, right? We know that. That's a judgment call we have to make. Did I stop? No. We were backed up, and I was like 10 cars. I could just see. Amy couldn't see. She goes, "What's going on? Tell me what's going on next," right? By the time I got there, the cops had, you know, rolled in, and they were trying to drag him out of the middle of the street. I've seen people wear some very amusing clothes. I have seen the homelessness of Seattle and the crisis that city is in, and the hopelessness. See, sometimes we get confused with helping people and helping those who don't want to be helped. There are those who want to be helped and those who don't want to be helped. But see, when we come to this place of laying a blanket judgment or whatever, what we're doing is throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? We've put an expectation on what we think should be. You see, God's never called us to stop serving or to stop helping, but we have to know why we are doing it, and we have to do it for the right reasons. Martha had placed an unrealistic expectation on Mary. Mary didn't even have a clue probably what Martha was all upset about, but she was upset, and Mary was focused on Jesus because she understood. Can you imagine being in the presence of Jesus then, and the power and the presence of God that was upon him, not to be drawn to him? And I understand the culture, and I understand what they were really looking for, and I understand that sometimes in life we can be led astray in our thinking. Let's go back to noise. The noise of their culture and the noise of what the Jews believed was keeping them from seeing who Jesus really was. All that noise going on in their head, all that those years of theological training, all those years of... So, you know what I've learned? All those years I was in Bible school, you know what? There's not much that I've really used other than the Bible teaching, the exact Bible teaching. And all the rest they tried to teach me, you know what? They never taught us how to love somebody. They never taught us how to bring somebody through a event in their life that was life-changing. The first major event that I had, I know you're saying, "Pastor, just close now." But I can't. The first major thing that, when I was a young youth pastor, when one of our youth, well, actually there was three of them, they decided to go, and I've told you the story, they decided to go to White Pass to go, because we were in Westport at the time, they decided to go to White Pass to go skiing. So they stayed a little too long, and as they were coming home, a man who was drunk hit them head on.
Oh, my.
Right? And as I was there, and as a young youth pastor, as I tried to ask God, what in the world should I say? Because I'd never been taught. How do you comfort someone in that position? You can't. You have to pray for them, and sometimes you just have to listen to them and allow them to scream and holler and wail and cry. And never tell them that they shouldn't do that. Right? Never tell them that they shouldn't do that.
They
need to do that.
I still cry
over Zachary from time to time. You're right. You gotta let him cry. You can't tell them, oh, don't give up on God, when they say, where is God? God's still there. What's the whole What's the whole point of the scripture here this morning is that we're putting our trust, right, in God through whatever we go through in this journey of life. Whatever life throws at us, to not worry, to not be stressed, to know that God has got this. The first thing that, you know, that God told us with Zachary is that he had this, to trust in him. And that's hard. That is hard. It is hard. But we've learned, and we've learned to turn stress into blessing, to trust in God, to not allow our minds and our hearts to be occupied with noise. You see, the lesson that Jesus was teaching Mary was that, or Martha, was that Mary was blessed because she chose what was right. When the noise comes at you, choose what is right. When the noise of life is screaming in your head, choose what is right. To go to Jesus and say, I need you right now. The noise is overwhelming. I need you. Help me. Go to the scriptures. Memorize scriptures. God, your word says, if I seek first your kingdom and all your righteousness, then you're going to, all these things will be added. You'll take care of me. See, this isn't one of them hyper-faith deals where we can change the scripture into meaning that God's going to give us a whole bunch of money and all kinds of stuff. Do you know that if you have clothes on your back and you have food in your belly and you have a place to sleep and a car or whatever, half the world or more doesn't have what we have. To trust in him, to believe in him, that even if I may have something going on physically or mentally or whatever, that he's there for us to find rest in him. And he's going to be there when we need him to help us deal with our life's challenges and our turmoils and everything that's there, that we can sit at the feet of Jesus, right? That we can sit there and we can say, God, thank you. I worship you. I'm here today to grasp your feet and lay my head on and say thank you. Because today you're going to get me through another day. Today you're going to get me through. Because tomorrow I don't have a clue what's going to happen. Because I don't have the big picture. I don't have the big picture. I can't see the big picture. But sometimes when you're in that moment and you're at the feet of Jesus and you're having your time with him, he may give you the big picture for that day. When all this went down, right here, this is my crazy drawing. I understood the big picture that God saved me from a bigger tragedy. Right? God saved me from a bigger tragedy. But God saved me so that I could go hit a stupid little white ball on a green golf course and
in the rain.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
You did go stay and play.
I did. Because I said, I'm still alive. If I'm supposed to be here, I'm supposed to be here. And who knows who I'm going to touch.
Exactly.
And you know what? There was two guys who was in our foursome. The two guys were there that we got to talk to more deeply about Jesus. Because they had been invited by somebody in their church to come. And they went to that church off and on. But got the opportunity to share more. And guess what? The picture became a little more clear. Grumble, grumble, stupid rain. Right? I was there for those two guys. Who cares if it was raining? Who cares? And I came back and came to the church. And I was like, this is good stuff. And I took that good stuff into our small group on Friday night. And Will and his magic, we ate hot dogs. Hallelujah. He cooked up big time for us. And we studied and we looked at how the blood of Jesus in the Old Testament, Moses told the Israelites to cover their doorposts, right? They're about to leave Egypt. And the last angel is going to come in and the death angel, and he said, kill the lamb the very first Passover. Put it on your doorpost, then your firstborn won't die. That was a representative of who? Jesus Christ. And man, we had a great discussion. See, sometimes we just have to look at every day as the snapshot comes into place, right? The picture comes in. You see what God is beginning to do. And you say, God, okay, I'm going to trust you a little bit more. I'm going to trust you a little bit more today. Because when you begin to do that, you begin to focus on what is right. Isn't that we shouldn't be doing our everyday duties, right? If you got a job, you can't sit at home and say, I'm going to be focused on Jesus and I'm going to forget my job. Come on. There are those who think that, though. You know that? Well, I'm just going to focus on Jesus. I don't have to work. God's going to take care of everything. Come on. Don't go there. But God will get us through our everyday things, and he will help us with the noise that's going on, and he will help us. And don't be like me, where, like he told Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, and he goes, Daryl, Daryl, right? Listen to me today. Just put your trust in him and go to his word and spend some time so that your spirit is right. So you move from stress to blessed. You move from sadness to joy. And that you're going, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Hallelujah.
Josh, you want to come on up? You and Mike? Let's close. Let's do Amazing Grace. How many want us to close with that song this morning? I'm glad you're here today. So, when you go home, because you know what normally happens is that I preach a message, and the first thing that's going to happen is something's going to happen, and the noise is going to be in your head. And what are you going to do with the noise in your head? Who are you going to turn to?
Jesus.
Not Ghostbusters. You're going to turn to who?
Jesus.
You're going to turn to Jesus. You're going to trust in Jesus. You say, okay, I can get through this too. And I will get through this today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, if you can stand. If you need any other prayer than what we prayed this morning, Doug and Barb will be up there and they're going to pray with you. But let's just sing.